So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life, this is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me.
Whether fighting or spitting, my discipline is unforgiving. Got you backing up in a defensive position. An ass kicking anthem, heavyweight or bantam. Holding camp for ransom, the microphone phantom. Teams hit the floor, it's the new fight joint. Like a broken needle, kid, you missing a point. Yeah, we dominate your conference with offense that's no nonsense. My theme song hits, get your reinforcements. Right. We strike quick with hard kicks, ducking ice sticks, bare knuckle mitts through fight pits. Beat you lifeless, never survive this. Get forgot like all timers. Two-faced rappers walk away with four shiners. The raw rhymer, turning legends to old timers. My incisors like a viper biting through your one miners. New Dead Man Inc., and we about to make you famous. Taking over Earth and still kicking in Uranus. Word.
And we are live. What's up, it's your boy K9, and you're listening to The Kennel. Follow me on Instagram at K9_Florida. And like, comment, share on SoundCloud if you can. I got a special guest in the building. He has came a long way to be here. He is ready. He is pumped. He wanted to be on season 2 more than anyone I know. He is the most loyal person I probably know. And he is here to give you his facts and the top of the line opinions. His name is Cousin Bubby.
Hey, howdy, hey.
What's going on, Cousin Bubby?
I'm feeling great, man. It feels great to be back on the pod for season 2.
Season 2, we're in the room, we got the new studio, you started from the bottom with me, we were in the kitchen, tapping on tables, we're here, it's official, it's professional. What's your honest opinion about the whole setup, everything?
I think it's amazing. Oh, it has definitely come a long way, and I'm excited for the kennel just keep growing from here on out.
It's not going, we're not dying.
No.
It's just starting. We got a heartbeat. We started giving it CPR, and it's pumping.
It's only going to get better from here. I cannot wait to see where the kennel goes. I'm excited. You know, I got so many exciting stuff coming up. You know, the kennel season 2 is, you know, now here, and also got a couple other things going on. You know, I'm just pumped. You know, I got my 21st birthday coming up next month. You know, I'm hyped. So being on this kennel season 2 is definitely a starting point for just the next month to be an absolute. It's classic.
The 21st birthday is the biggest birthday of them all. 18 is pretty legit because you're like, yeah, I'm an adult now. That means I can go to real jail and get in real trouble.
Yeah.
You know, there's none of that minor stuff anymore. So 18 was pretty big, but man, 21?
That's the real deal.
Yeah, that's real deal. You can do whatever you want. You can buy whatever you want. There's no age restrictions. You're there. You're in. You can rent a hotel room. You can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
This is big.
It is big. And man, I cannot wait to absolutely get plastered.
Plastered.
I will. I haven't drinking a single drop of alcohol since New Year's. I told myself after New Year's, I'm just going to go cold turkey all the way until my 21st birthday.
Wow. You're going to be sick. It's going to be bad. You're not, in a way, I kind of wish you would have paced yourself and not did the cold turkey because just going straight into it.
Well, I mean, it's not like New Year's was the first time I drink. I don't want to sound like, you know, a criminal or an alcoholic, but, you know, I've done a decent amount of drinking, and since from the first time I've had my first sip of alcohol at 18 to now, I've had a decent amount of, you know, rage fests, but, you know, I'm just ready for my 21st birthday to just outshine all of it, hopefully.
Yeah, my 21st, I got drunk real bad. I started real early. I went to work and I asked my boss, I said, hey, it's my 21st birthday. You mind if I leave a little early? He's like, yeah, that's fine. I ended up, we left the shop and I told my crew leader, hey, just drop me off right here. And he's like, what? We're just in the middle of the road. I'm like, no, let me out right here. I'm going to get a ride. He's like, but you told Doug you were going to leave a little early. He's like, it's been 15 minutes. We just left the shop. I said, dude, it's my 21st birthday. Just cover for me till as long as you can. If it's 9 a.m., I don't care. At this point, I'm leaving. So he just let me out. I had my boy pick me up. We went to the mall.
when TGI Fridays was still there at Vero Mall.
Oh my god!
It was. It just started with two for ones. Next thing I know, I'm like blackout drunk. I go in the food court, and one of the dudes we were with, my boy's cousin, he goes up and like shakes some dude's hand at the food court, like, "What's up, bro?" So then I walk up there, I'm like, "Yo, what's up, bro?" I shake this dude, give him a hug, don't even know who he is, I'm like blackout drunk.
Yeah.
This dude's standing next to his mom, I'm like, "Hey, how you doing? What's going on? You know, I'm canine, blah, blah, blah." Come to find out, bro, that was my boss's wife.
What?
And his son, and I didn't even know, it was Jeff Gomez's wife and his son.
Wow.
I swear, and, oh my god. I didn't get in any trouble at work. Jeff loved me, but it was just funny. It was my boss's wife and son. Out of everybody in the world, it could have been. And I left work after 15 minutes. I'm like, oh, man. But it turned out all right. We had a good 21st. Me and Alan, Monster, we were born on the same exact day.
Wow.
So we had the same 21st. So ever since we were like 12, we're like, dude, whenever we turn 21, it's going to be game over. And we did it, you know.
You did it. You know, I've done a lot of drinking. I've never gotten blackout drunk before.
Oh, man.
So I think this, I will never know, but I think this might be the first for me.
See, there's like kind of two different types of blackout. Like there's blacking out and it's a good thing, and there's blacking out and it's a bad thing.
Exactly.
And sometimes it depends how long it lasts. Like I've blacked out drinking before and I came to my senses like 2 hours later. I'm like, whoa, like kind of like waking up out of nowhere, like, where am I? What the hell just happened in the past 2 hours? You know, I've had that, and then I've had it where I didn't realize where I was till the next morning.
Oh, man.
You wake up, you feel like you got hit by a bus, and you're just like, fuck, what happened? Then I wake up day, and I'm like, day, what happened last night? I don't remember anything from about 10 p.m. till now. And she's like, oh, my God, you did this, you did that. You gave yourself a black eye. Look in the mirror, I gave myself a black eye. I'm like, who beat my ass? She's like, nobody. You headbutted our minivan because you were so pumped up. I'm like, yeah, sounds legit. I thought I got my ass whooped because I feel like I got a damn concussion.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, that was worse. Then I went to work with a black eye.
Oh,
everyone's
man.
Like, what happened? You got your ass beat? I'm like, no, according to my wife, I headbutted my minivan. If it's true, I don't know, but there was a dent in my minivan right in front of the passenger seat. I'm surprised I didn't make the airbag go off. There was like just like a little kind of dip in it, and I put my head, my forehead against it, and it fit perfectly. And I'm like, yeah, I headbutted the fuck out of this thing.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was like when I was like 23, but but yeah, so when you get blackout drunk, just try to make it the good one where, you know, it's not like giving yourself black eyes and
yeah, definitely. And but at the same time, you can't really control it because, again, you're blacked out. You have no idea what you did, where you were, where what happened. You just have no idea.
Yeah, you got to pace yourself, and I think a lot of it has to do with what you drink, too.
Exactly.
Like the time I gave myself the black eye, I drank a whole bottle of Hennessy by myself. Now, the time that I blacked out for a couple hours, I think I was drinking Fireball. So it's just like, it's kind of different. Tequila,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever really blacked out. I just gotten like so hyped to the point where like my heart was going to explode.
I got you. Yeah, you got to choose wisely with your poison. Pick your poison properly.
Yes. And no, you know, I'm sure you've drank a lot. So, you know, like vodka does this to me.
Yeah.
This one makes me violent. This one, you know, makes me cry and want to be your best friend. Like all of them kind of give you a different feeling.
Definitely. Exactly.
So if you do pick one as of right now, what are you thinking? Like, are you gonna go vodka? Or are you just gonna go nuts and drink everything? Or are you gonna go whiskey?
I would have said everything, but the last time I got drunk was New Year's, and I woke up that next morning and had the worst hangover of my life. And I think it's a mix of, like, I drank a lot. I had like Screwball, I had vodka, I had Don Julio, I had this, that. Plus, I also had, like, I was eating ice cream while I was drunk.
Oh,
so, like,
God.
Yeah, that sugar.
Dairy?
Yeah, dairy and sugar.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, my hangover was so bad. I wasn't drunk. I knew I was sober, but I was so hungover, I had to throw up. And usually, the only times I've ever thrown up was when I was still drunk. Because, you know, wasn't drinking enough water, or I consumed too much too fast, so my stomach didn't react. No, I was already done drinking. Hung over as shit and just threw up. It was rough, and that's another reason why I said I'm gonna wait till my birthday, because, you know, when you get that messed up when you're hungover, you just want to take a little break.
I know, throwing up the next day and throwing up at the time you're drunk is completely different, because when you're drunk, you're like drunk as hell and you're throwing up and you're like, oh, it's all right, I'm drunk as hell. But then when you wake up the next morning and you feel like shit, then you throw up. It already makes you feel worse.
Exactly.
Like, you already feel like death. When you're drunk, you feel good, usually.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I definitely agree with that. I've had my my fair share of that as well. I don't really drink anymore though, man. You know what I'm saying?
I just
I'm one of those people where I start and I don't stop.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, it's 4 or 5 in the morning and I'm wide awake and everybody else is like going to sleep and I'm still ready to party and kind of act crazy. So I don't really drink much anymore. I do a little bit just to have a good time, but I know how to control it now.
I got you.
I'm an old man now. I'm 28. So, you know, you enjoy your 21st. You got your years to still be wild. No kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No partner, no wife, no nothing. Just single by yourself. Get to do whatever you want.
Well, I'll probably have my sister with me as like a DD. Because I don't know if I'll go out or if I'll stay at my house. But yeah, I definitely want to do something fun.
Okay. So are you planning on like doing anything for your 21st? Just drinking, or are you planning on going somewhere or doing something?
That honestly is still up in the air. I know like a couple months ago I talked about going to Vegas as like a big trip,
yeah.
But you know when you say you're going to do something, I mean usually when I say I'm going to do something, I say it once and I do it. But with Vegas, you know, it's such a big commitment to especially, you know, with our, you know, with my, our whole family's financial situation not being, you know, we're not poor, but, you know, we don't, in this, you know, in a city, in a place like Vero Beach where, you know, you're either ghetto and you'd have no money or you're living in the beach and you're making 7 figures. So, you know, it's just, but I tried to do Vegas, but, you know, as it got closer and closer, I was just realizing it's not going to happen, but, you know, it was worth a shot to, you know, try, but I think I'm still up in the air what I'm going to do about on my 21st, though.
Yeah, Vegas is, like, a big money spot. Like, you can't... It's not like going to Myrtle Beach. Like, you're going to Vegas. Like, you need the plane ticket.
Exactly.
You can't drive there. There's all the gambling. You know you're probably going to lose money gambling.
Exactly.
Like that's a big commitment.
Exactly. That's something you got to, like, financially, like... You got to, like, not just say you're going to do this years in advance, but you got to, like, actually plan it out, like, physically years in advance.
Save money. Yeah, definitely. Like I wouldn't go to Vegas with anything less than like probably like $5,000. That's like the bare minimum. Like hotel, gambling, everything. I need at least $5,000. You're not going there with a couple hundred bucks.
Exactly. Well, there is one thing I thought about doing that could be pretty big. I thought about going to that new Hard Rock Cafe Hotel in Hollywood.
Where they have the sports book, the casino and everything. Yeah.
I thought about that, but again, we'll see.
Yeah, that would be a good spot to go. Definitely. So, all right. Anything else planned or?
Yeah, in 2 weeks, actually, I'm going to the Royal Rumble in St. Petersburg.
Royal Rumble. So the WWE Royal Rumble.
WWE Royal Rumble. It's in Tropicana Field, the Tampa Bay Rays play. It's in a stadium.
It's in a dome.
It's in a dome, yeah. It's going to, I bought the tickets back in November, and this was before Randy Orton, CM, the people who follow WWE stuff. This was before CM Punk, Randy Orton, The Rock, John Cena were making these, like, big returns. And, like, I bought it when it was like, okay, you know, it's going to be fun. You know, Royal Rumble is in, it's close, it's pretty close to where we live. It's in Florida. So, you know, it's, and again, Royal Rumble is like, when you're for a WWE fan, Royal Rumble is Christmas time.
That's the best one.
It's the best pay-per-view to go to when you, you know, just have a blast and just, you know, see all these faces, familiar faces returning or just surprising moments to happen. I mean, last year's Rumble was amazing. So, and this year is expected to be even bigger than that. So, yeah, I'm going in there, and I bought the tickets back in November, like, whatever, it's going to be fun, but then all these returns happening, and I was like, wow, I got lucky that I bought these tickets. I don't like to hype this up, but I think this might be an absolute unforgettable experience.
I think this might be the best Royal Rumble in a while. Now, from recent memory, I haven't watched all of them. But the one that I did re-watch after it came out was the one that Edge came back.
Yeah.
Dude, it's like, like when they do the countdown and it's, on this day. Mm-hmm. Bro, there was literally grown men in the stadium, in the crowd crying.
I know.
Grown men, because Edge came back.
I know. I wish I was watching at the time, but I wasn't. But yeah, it was right before, it was in 2020, right before the pandemic. That was probably peak, like, hype. Because, you know, it's, you know, Royal Rumble, for me personally, that's the last, like, top tier Royal Rumble had.
Yeah, that's the last one that comes to mind.
The ones we had before, the three we had beforehand were, I mean, the last one we had was great, but it wasn't like, 2020 was like something special.
Yeah, when I see grown men in the stands crying, like, tears of joy, to see Edge come back. Like,
first, yeah, he came back from medically retiring after 9 years. The dude's doctors literally said, hey, you have to retire. You can't wrestle anymore. 9 years later, here he is competing in a 30-man Royal Rumble and looking as if he never aged.
Dude, that the adrenaline rush I would have got if I was there. Like, you know, all these new guys are cool, whatever, but it goes to, like, the last guy, and all you hear is, you think you could know me? Bro, I would have jumped up and probably flailed my arms like one of them dudes at a heavy metal where they just get in the circle and they start swinging mosh their arms. Yeah, mosh pit type shit. Dude, if I'm at the Royal Rumble and Edge comes from a 9-year retirement, I would have went nuts too. I probably would have cried tears of joy as well.
But yeah, that was the last like genuinely legendary Rumble. But this year, again, it's looking like it might top that.
Dude, one of my favorite memories with Uncle Gordy, RIP, your grandpa, he wasn't even into wrestling that much, but I told him like a week in advance, I'm like, yo, Uncle Gordy, next Friday's Royal Rumble, the pay-per-view. He's like, for real, the Royal Rumble? And like, that was the one he got excited about. Like, I could tell him like WrestleMania even, he was like, whatever. I was like, Royal Rumble's coming out on Friday. Dude, he ordered it. It was probably one of the best Royal Rumbles I ever seen. They had like Doink the Clown come back and like Sergeant Slaughter. Like, this was back when I was like 9 years old. Okay, but dude, it was fire. That's one of my favorite memories. Like, we sat there and we watched that thing and it was awesome. Mm. It's just like, it was a great memory. Royal Rumble's the shit. It's my favorite pay-per-view. It's like, it's not one of these two-night WrestleMania things. It's one night.
Yeah.
It's 30 guys in one match, so you're going to get the best of the best.
Exactly.
And even the worst of the worst just to come in there and kind of be funny.
Exactly. You know? There's always something to look forward to in the Royal Rumble, whether it's the big returns, the winner of the whole thing, who comes in at what spot, you know, who starts off the match, who ends the match, who are the big returns in between, and who gets eliminated to this, who lasts till from the very beginning to the very end. Yeah. Who's the Iron Man? Who gets eliminated super quickly and looks like a stupid piece of shit for, you know, coming all the way to the Royal Rumble and then getting eliminated in 3 seconds? Yeah. There's so much to look forward to. And that's why, you know, that's why I say it's the Christmas for WWE fans, because there's so much to look forward to when it comes to Royal Rumble.
When I had 2K Wrestling on Xbox 360, that's the only match me and my boys would do. Mm-hmm. We would do the Royal Rumble, and like two of us would start in it, and like if you got eliminated, you would have to hand off the controller. So you might get like 3 or 4 turns in it.
Yeah.
And you would kind of like, they would let you pick your spot during it. Like, this guy's coming out. Like, let's just say Ted DiBiase was coming out. It's like, do I want to be him or risk it to the next one?
Yeah.
And see who comes out next. And dude, we would like team up at the beginning. Like, all right, bro, you're going to team up with me? Yeah, we're going to team up. Next thing you know, like the dude's like punching you in the back and teaming up with somebody trying to get you out. You're like, hey, mother, like you said you were on my team. Like, you know, you would backstab people. Oh, God, we used to have so much fun in that game, man. SmackDown versus Raw, all them games. Royal Rumble was number one.
I bet. The Royal Rumble match in 2K, is definitely like the most fun match to play when you have like 4 or 5 people.
Yeah, because you team up, so then fun. You backstab people. Mm-hmm. You're like, hey, wait a second. Yeah. Like, oh, I hit you on accident. My bad, bro.
Yeah, on accident.
Yeah, on accident. Like, you just start wailing on them. Yeah. Oh, man. We just have so much fun with that. Man.
But yeah, I cannot wait till the Royal Rumble.
Dude, I'm jealous. So I want to go. But here, I got Peacock, so I'm going to watch it, especially now that you're going. I'm going to try to pick you out. I'm going to try to pick you out of the crowd. I'm pumped for it.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have, like, front row seats like we did. Like, the last time I actually did go to a Royal Rumble before, but it was back in, like, 2016. So I was 12, about to be 13 years old, and my dad got lucky. He bought like really good seats, so we were right next to the front. We were like pretty close to the front row. But this time around, I mean, it's not like horrible seats. We're not like all the way in the top, but you know, we have decent seats. I don't know if you'll see us, but yeah, we're definitely gonna have pretty good seats.
Who are you going with?
I'm going with my sister, Carly, and hopefully my brother's coming. You know,
Nick, so you got 3 tickets or 4?
Three tickets. Yeah, we got 3 tickets. My mom's coming with us, but she's not going to the actual event. She's going to stay at the Airbnb. We're going to be staying, because we're going for the whole weekend. So yeah, she's going to stay at the Airbnb while me, Carly, and hopefully my brother, Nicholas, go, you know, go and, you know, have a blast.
Yeah, that'd be legit, dude. That's an event to go to.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm glad we talked some wrestling, man. We haven't talked any wrestling.
I know. People who know me, they you know, I'm secretly a huge WWE fan. Like, you ask my sister, she knows, like, I'm a huge wrestling fan. And I've only been watching for, like, 11 years, but you know me, when even, especially, you know, like, just like football, you know, I have, you know, I, you know, have so much knowledge about stuff. So, you know, it's like, yeah, with WWE, I know a lot, even though I haven't been watching for that long, but I know so much about the history and stuff like that. So, you know, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, when I was little, I was the biggest wrestling fan. Me and my brothers and my friends, dude, I mean, I played with wrestling action figures, so I was about 13 years old. Like,
yeah.
I was pretty weird, like, with wrestling. I loved it. You know, as I got older, obviously, I went away from it. It turned such into, like, a PG
exactly,
type thing. It's not like it was when I was a kid, man. I was 6 years old, and they're flipping middle fingers.
The Attitude Era, where were, F this, F that, you know. They, you know, John Cena or whoever, be flipping Stone Cold Steve Austin, flipping the finger, drinking beer in the ring.
You know, the girls were pretty much practically naked on TV.
Exactly. At one point, they had a live Edge, who was WWE champ at the time in 2006, had a live sex celebration with Lita.
Oh man,
you would never be able to do that anywhere in today's television.
No, not at all. And that was even kind of later on. That wasn't even like
that
Attitude
Era. That was 2006. So, you know, that was like not like what? Like not even like 17, 18 years ago?
Yeah. So, oh man. But the Royal Rumble, yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it. I'm excited. So, NFL talk. We're going to get into the game matchups first. I know I talked about them with Miz already, but we had two big games yesterday. So, we're going to get into those. So we're going to talk about game matchups, and then we want to give you our first mock draft because a lot of people have been talking about the Bears, Justin Fields, and these top picks and top draft picks and these teams that need quarterbacks and players. We got a lot of new coaches, a lot of new GMs, so there's going to be some big moves. So let's get into the game matchups first, and then we're going to give you our mock draft as of now. We're going to give you either another mock draft by the time it happens or two. So, you know, obviously things aren't too set in stone yet. We still got months, but we're excited. We're big NFL fans, and it's something we're definitely going to talk about. So let's get into the game matchups. Let's go over yesterday. The first game was Houston and Cleveland, and Cleveland was favored going in. Everybody I know of pretty much bet on Cleveland. Joe Flacco's been on fire.
January Joe.
And they just didn't show up yesterday at all.
I know. I predicted the game to be close, but I did have Cleveland winning, but I thought it was going to be close. I thought that, you know, I was thinking like, you know, I think it, when it all came down to, and at the end of the day for me was the quarterback situation. Yes, CJ Stroud all regular season had, you know, such, you know, offensive rookie of the year candidate in the regular season, but I thought he was going to come in and, you know, suffer from the playoff jitters. And that Joe Flacco being the veteran, he's done this before, like it's nothing. He's going to come in there and lead the Cleveland to a road victory over Houston. But that is not even close to what happened. You know, Houston showed up at home. And speaking of Stroud, can we take a second and just like thank, you know, just like appreciate what he's done for the Houston Texans franchise? Three seasons before, you know, the previous three seasons before he was drafted, the Texans were 6-11, 5-11, you know, terrible, bottom of the barrel team. But then Stroud comes in his first year as quarterback, lights it up. Houston is the best team in the NFC South. They go from least, you know, worst to first, and now they won a playoff game. I mean, that is impressive for a rookie like Stroud to do in just his first season for that franchise.
I second that, and I do believe CJ Stroud is that good. He is going to be a top five quarterback definitely going into next year to me. He's been elite. I wish the Bears would have drafted him. I love him. I think he's great, but you got to give some credit to the coaches. The head coach of that team came into a terrible franchise that hasn't won in I don't know how long. All the Watson crap with the women. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just kind of like a dying franchise almost, you know? And he came in, he changed everything around, and then that offensive coordinator, it's his first year being the OC, he's calling the plays, he used to work with Sean McVay, I can't think of his name right now, but that OC, dude, when he played against Cleveland yesterday, he did everything to take Myles Garrett out of the game. Like, he even had some plays where he didn't even block Myles Garrett, just to pretty much tempt him, and then, you know, throw a quick screen the other way. Like, he called the best plays for CJ Stroud. He has all year. You know, CJ Stroud going to a team like the Bears with a terrible play caller like Luke Getsy, which thank God now is gone. CJ Stroud wouldn't be what he is. This guy's calling the best plays for this guy. He knows what his quarterback's good at. He knows what the other team's, you know, strengths and weaknesses are. He called a perfect game against Cleveland yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I applaud him. He should be a head coach coming into this next year. And I know teams are already contacting him. This guy needs to be a head coach. I mean, he might have had the best offensive play calling game I've ever seen yesterday. Straight up. Against that Cleveland defense, to score 45 points on them like that. And I know there was two pick sixes, but even without those pick sixes, they played great defensively, offensively, all around, especially offensively. It was a great coach game.
Yeah.
They made the coach of Cleveland kind of look like an idiot, honestly. Stefanski. He might have lost his coach of the year award from that. It might go to D'Amico Ryan now.
Ooh, yeah.
Hot take.
As a 49ers fan, he was a former, I think, defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he was a DC,
DC for the 49ers. Yeah, I'm seeing him, thrive as the head coach and get that big win over Cleveland. Yeah, it made me feel good. Me feel good in the heart. Even though I had Cleveland to win, when I saw Houston win, I mean, other than my mom, you know, being devastated because she's a Cleveland Browns fan for life. But other than that, you know, seeing D'Amico Ryans get that win for Houston over such a great team like Cleveland, as a 49ers fan, that felt good.
Houston's hot, and you got to look out for them.
Yeah, they might make a deep playoff run.
With a rookie quarterback, that is crazy. I've never seen anything like this before. This might have been like the best year in sports we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
With just the stories, starting with prime time. I mean, him starting off with that college football run. Everybody got into college football. Just all the stories this year have been great, man.
Mm-hmm.
Especially C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans, man.
Yes.
I like seeing them franchises that have always been losers and finally do something. It's pretty cool to see. Not the same teams and the same guys.
Exactly. Like the Patriots being the top seed in the AFC East for 20 years in a row.
Exactly. And to see them, you know, not be a good team. Like, I hate to say it, the Cousins Stevens, but it's nice to see that.
Yeah.
You know, over time, things will, you know, possibly shake up. And your team's not always going to be a shitty team forever. Or this team's going to be great forever.
Exactly. That I felt the same when the 49ers, back in, like, mid-2010s, when the 49ers were terrible and they had Chip Kelly as their head coach and freaking Colin Kaepernick was doing all this national anthem protesting shit, I was like, oh, the 49ers aren't going to be good until, like, 2027. But then, guess what? But then things turn around. They hire Kyle Shanahan. They get Jimmy Garoppolo as, like, that system quarterback. And then ever since then, it's been nothing but uphill for them. And it's a peak time to be a 49ers fan, and I'm, you know, soaking it all in.
Right. So that was the first game. The second game, you had Miami traveling to Kansas City. Kansas City was favored by 4.5 by the time it went off. It was up to 5. It was so cold there. It was like -30 with the wind chill. You look at the weather in Miami, it was 70 degrees, and then you go here and it's -30, so that's like 100 degree difference.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, you could just tell them guys were uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. On Miami, Tua wasn't comfortable. They wanted to run the ball just about every play. Tua was so inaccurate.
Yeah.
It was my lock of the week. This was like the one game where I was like, if you put a gun to my head and I had to pick one of the games this weekend, I might even have picked Kansas City over Miami over like Buffalo beating Pittsburgh. Just because I just knew Kansas City was going to this game. Like, it's Mahomes. It's playoff Mahomes. He's at Arrowhead. This is the one game they get at home this playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to win this one. Now,
definitely,
they might choke, you know, against a better team and, you know, at their home stadium. Mm-hmm. Or if they played in Miami, I think it would have been closer. But I just knew Kansas City was going to win this game, man.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with you. You said, regular season Mahomes, you could say whatever about him or his receivers, but doesn't matter what going into the postseason, what Mahomes has been through in the regular season. When it comes to postseason time, there is no quarter. And right now, there's no quarterback who just, maybe other than Joe Burrow, maybe there's no other quarterback in the league that just enters a completely different zone once the postseason's on.
And the thing I love about playoff Mahomes too is he likes to run. Mm-hmm. And I think Andy Reid finally tells him, like, hey, it's the playoffs. You got to take off. Because during the regular season, you ain't getting hurt scrambling for a first down.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, you can. And, dude, when Mahomes runs, he's not the fastest guy.
No.
But he knows how to run that ball. He pumps
it. Exactly. He has that.
He knows how to juke you out.
The vision.
Oh, my God. He's so good.
Yeah.
That 20-yard scramble he had when they were in the red zone, I think it was like third and 15, and he just ran for that first down. I was like, man, you just, I don't think there's anybody else in the NFL that could do it like that. There's no way.
I mean, when you got a player like him in the Super Bowl coming out there with a broken freaking leg to help his team win the game, you know, clinch the game-winning drive in the Super Bowl, that just shows you all you need to know about what type of player Mahomes is.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've talked about this a lot. I do think Brady is the GOAT, but if you're giving me somebody in their prime and, you know, and I need somebody at quarterback, it's Mahomes, man. I've never seen anybody else be able to do what he does in these big games. With the scrambling, with the throws, his toughness, it's something that it's going to be hard to match with
exactly.
A lot of these teams.
Once in a generation.
Yeah, definitely once in a generation. I do think he has the best talent ever. He isn't the greatest of all time yet, but if he keeps doing what he's doing, he's obviously going to get there, definitely.
We'll see.
So that was yesterday. Today, our first game, and it's coming up quick, actually. It's 4:30 right now, Eastern time. So... But it's about to happen, so we don't know what's going to happen yet. Yeah. It's about to start. You got Green Bay at Dallas. Dallas is -7. I got Dallas in this game.
Yeah,
they're at
too.
Home. They haven't lost a game at home. They're like 18-0 in their last 18 games at home. They haven't lost a game at home in so long. Green Bay's young. They're talented. I'm scared because they are a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think they need more experience.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think they're as good as Houston. You know, they do actually have a younger team than Houston, but they're kind of almost in the same bracket as Houston. First-year quarterback, a lot of young players. But I just don't think Green Bay is going to be able to win this game in Dallas.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and it's funny. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the last time we had Dallas versus Green Bay in the playoffs was when A-Rod was still their quarterback. It was like Dak Prescott's rookie year. Coming off, you know, offensive rookie of the year. It was in Dallas. Dallas had a they had the bye week. They didn't have to play in the wild card round. So, and they had home field, and Aaron Rodgers came in and upset the top team in the NFC, Dallas. You know, yeah. But listen, that was 2016, 2017, 2024. It's a completely different Green Bay team. And again, I agree with everything, a lot of what you're saying, you know. Even the fact that Green Bay's roster is so young, I mean, almost one-fifth of their roster was born in the 2000s. That just speaks to how great of a future that franchise has with all of their great young players. But at the same, you know, and I got to give a lot of respect to Jordan Love and what he's been able to do. You know, he's been able to silence all the haters about, you know, after three years, you're finally replacing Aaron Rodgers. You're nothing. You know, we wasted a first-round pick and you're nothing. But he came in and led that team to the playoffs after A-Rod left. Got to give a lot of respect to him. But as much as I love and respect Green Bay, what they've done this year with that roster they have and what Matt LaFleur's been able to do, you know, this year, I don't think this is Dallas's time yet to choke in the playoffs.
No, not yet. They're going to win this game. And the other thing with Green Bay, you know, you can't look at Jordan Love and what he does today and compare him to C.J. Stroud.
No.
I know C.J. Stroud is a first-year rookie quarterback, but that's something that usually I don't think has ever been done before.
Mm-mm.
A quarterback taking his team to, you know, that ain't happening. That ain't common.
No.
So now that it just happened this year, you can't compare him to C.J. Stroud and what
exactly.
he did.
Exactly. I mean, as a 49ers fan, I can't even compare him to Brock Purdy because, you know, yes, Brock Purdy came in Mr. Irrelevant rookie quarterback, but at the same time, you got to give a lot of credit to the team around him.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
With Houston, with Stroud, you know, I think a good amount of that was, yes, the coaching, but but other than that, a good amount of it was his ability to just step it up.
Right.
And
no,
prove himself in the NFL.
Definitely. It was just a good mixture all together with that. So I got Dallas. You got Dallas as well.
Yep.
All right, let's get in the matchup tonight. This is the matchup I'm most excited about.
Ooh.
And I'm different than everybody else that I've talked to. You got the Rams heading to Detroit. Detroit's favored by 3. And I said it earlier with Miz. I got the Rams winning this game. I don't even need the 3 points. Matt Stafford has been, in my eyes, this is a hot take. I think he might be the MVP this year, dude.
Really?
This team was projected to get last in their division, almost like a Houston. And everybody said Matt Stafford was washed up. He had that bad year last year. He was hurt all year. He couldn't even throw a football, dude. I mean, all they really had on offense was Cooper Kupp. You know, nobody knew Kyren Williams or Puka Nacua. I mean, Stafford's out there throwing sidearm passes. Without Matt Stafford on that team, they would have been last in their division. I don't know too many other quarterbacks that could have went in that situation and did what he did this year with the team he's got. I mean, the defense, they don't have any names on their defense either besides Aaron Donald, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Stafford has been amazing this year. He has been, this might have been his best year yet, even better than the year they won the Super Bowl because he had a lot better of a team. Matt Stafford has surprised me. I think he should be in MVP talks. If not MVP, all right, I understand. But put him on the list, dude. I mean, look what he's done with this team.
If they go
in and beat Detroit in Detroit, one of the top teams right now in the league, that's going to be big. I think he will, though. I do. I like Stafford.
All right.
I like the Rams tonight. The coach of the Lions is too wild for me. He's going to do that bull crap and end up blowing the game. He shouldn't have played Sam Laporta the last week of the year. The game really didn't mean nothing. He's coming in banged up. I don't even know if he's going to play.
Oh, boy.
Their star rookie tight end. I mean, why would you play him the last week? He's just been making bad decisions, dude. He needs to tighten up. This is the playoffs. This is the NFL, buddy. Like, you can't be making them stupid decisions going for 2-3 times in a row and playing your best players the last week of the year because we're a tough team. Well, being a tough team ain't going to win you a Super Bowl. You know? Yeah, people will call you a tough team, but would you rather be the winner at the end or would you rather be called tough?
Yeah,
I agree. So, I mean, you give me your opinion on that game because I think people know how I feel about it.
I got you. Yeah, I mean, I think you have a lot of strong points in there about Matt Stafford. I mean, I want to bring, bouncing off that, I want to bring up not a stat, but like a little bit of history repeats itself thing. With Matt Stafford as the quarterback, there are three notable receivers who have had career years because of Matthew Stafford as the quarterback. Puka this year. You had Cooper Kupp in 2021 when he was a triple crown, broke the receiving yards record. And Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
All three of them had career years, and guess who was under center for that team? Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford, you said it best. When Matthew Stafford is your quarterback, receivers, he knows how to make receivers shine and look amazing. Matthew Stafford is he's had, even with his age and being on the wrong side of 30, he still puts up amazing stats, and he is just a natural leader in that locker room. And yeah, I give Matthew Stafford a lot of credit in what he does. Cause again, we saw the odds at the beginning of the year. Rams were plus 1500 to win their division people were saying they have so many holes in their roster. And then look what they did. They ended up making the playoffs, being the second best team in the NFC West, only behind the 49ers. But yeah, they have just, but yeah, I do have to give the team a lot of credit. But with that said, as much as I would love for the Rams to go into Detroit, you can't wear Matthew Stafford in the stadium because, everybody's anti-Matthew Stafford. We want to beat him in our home stadium. I think, with as hot as Detroit has been, I think they're going to continue that with a win over the Rams.
Okay.
I had Detroit winning over LA, I think both teams are incredibly talented, but I think Detroit is just gonna play just a little better over LA.
Okay, I respect that. In a way, I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions do win this game by 10.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be a shootout.
Okay,
I have the Lions winning. If they do win, it's going to be like a high scoring game. Like, yes, Cleveland and Houston was high scoring, but it was literally one sided. I think it's going to be a shootout and it's going to be close. I'm saying like 42 to 37 or something like that.
Okay. So take the over.
I take the over.
Take the over. All right. Now, Monday night, they flex this game to Monday, or not Monday night, Monday at 4:30. They flex it. It was supposed to be today at 1 o'clock.
Really?
But the weather was so bad, they switched it to Monday. At 4:30, if you looked at the weather coverage of the Bills Stadium, there was nothing but snow.
Damn.
I don't think there was any way that they were going to be able to play an NFL game. Hopefully the storm stops, but they were just paying people off the street $20 an hour. Hey, come we shovel snow.
Yeah.
We need help. Like, it's bad. And you got the Steelers heading to Buffalo in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Buffalo's favored by 10. TJ Watt is out. That's huge.
Yeah.
But... Give me your opinion on this game. I mean, it's going to be bad weather. Yeah. Already had to switch the day.
Yeah, a complete opposite of what I said about LA and Detroit. I think this game is going to be a low-scoring slugfest.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pitt, again, same thing with LA Rams. I got to give credit to Pittsburgh, you know. Mike Tomlin, we got to give him props as a coach to, you know, with the team around him, the awful quarterback situation with Kenny. You know, they started, what, 3 or 4 different quarterbacks all year. Mm-hmm. They're coming into a playoff game with Mason Rudolph as their starting QB. Not Kenny Pickett, not Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph. And yet they're still 10-7, winning another winning record for Mike Tomlin. So I got to give him a lot of credit. But there's just no universe where I see them beating Buffalo at home. I don't have much to say other than, yeah, Buffalo is going to get a slugfest win over Pittsburgh, and it's not even close to me. To me, you know, this is my lock. This is my lock. Buffalo over Pittsburgh.
Now, what about the 10 points? Because that's a lot of points. Some websites, it's 9.5, so they got to win by 10 at least. Do you see
I don't know. With the conditions with the conditions and the weather, I don't even know if there's going to be 10 combined points all game.
I think Josh Allen's going to be running the shit out of the ball.
Oh, yeah. They're going to put up at least 150 rushing yards with Josh Allen and James Cook.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen's going to run the ball. Now, if I was going to give you a percentage right now, I'm thinking like maybe 10 to 12% the Steelers win this game. Now, if they had TJ Watt in that cold weather,
yeah, then maybe I'd maybe
put
shot.
It up to 20%, 25%, yeah. But having your best player on defense, an MVP-type caliber defender, you know, the Steelers are going to have a tough time beating the Bills in Buffalo.
Yeah, definitely.
The 10 points is tough, though.
10 points is tough. Again, I would be surprised if you combine all points in that game, if it adds up to 10. It might be like 7-3 or something like that.
So take the under.
I take the under, but Buffalo is definitely beating Pittsburgh.
Okay. And then Monday night, this is a pretty crazy game right here. You got Philly going to Tampa to play Tampa. As of right now, A.J. Brown's out.
Ooh.
The whole Eagles lineup's kind of banged up. Smith said he's going to play Devontae Smith. Hurts had that finger issue the last game, but he's playing. Tampa's pretty hot of a team right now. Their defense has been lights out. Their offense has been okay. Rashid White has been phenomenal at running back this year. Dual threat. Baker Mayfield's been good. He hasn't been turning the ball over. He earned his position as a starting quarterback next year for Tampa.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. I actually had high hopes for Tampa this year. I wasn't one of those people that, you know, said they were going to be terrible. They were like plus 750 preseason to win their division, and I liked it. I think I picked Tampa. I would have to go back and listen, but I think I do remember picking Tampa.
I think you did. Yeah, I think you had the Saints winning, but you were like, don't be surprised if Tampa Bay upsets and wins.
Yeah, that does sound right, because I was high on the Saints. I mean, with Tampa, they got pretty much the same defense they did when they won the Super Bowl. Levante David and Devin White at linebacker. Ooh. I mean, having those two guys, they have a great line defensively and offensively.
Yeah.
That partially goes to show you that having a good O-line and a D-line, that's how important it is. I mean, their O-line is stacked. Their D-line stacked.
Yeah.
Their linebackers, they got a good defense.
They even have an underrated secondary led by, you know, the biggest Pro Bowl snub of the season, Antoine Winfield Jr.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely snubbed. Mike Evans has had one of his best years he's ever had.
Yeah, another 1,000-yard year. I mean, I think when it's all said and done, he might be in the Mount Rushmore wide receivers.
I think the big reason everybody was sleeping on Tampa is because of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah,
nobody thought he was going to be able, because that was really all that changed, was Brady left and Baker went to be the starting quarterback. The rest of the team is pretty much still the same.
Yeah, I mean, they lost like maybe one or two offensive linemen, but other than that, it was, just mostly, Baker Mayfield replacing Tom Brady.
Yeah, they've drafted well over the years, you know, Tristan Wirfs, them guys, Riley Jensen on the O-line. I mean, it's just Tampa's at home and they're plus 3. So they're underdogs in this game at home against a team that Philly, man, they have been the coldest team in the NFL, getting blown out by the Giants.
They were what, 10-1 heading into week 12? What happened?
It's been a collapse, and Sipo said it on the podcast when he was on it. He thinks a lot of it's the coaching.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is the coaching and just the poisons and cancers in the locker room. Someone like AJ Brown, I didn't realize he was that much of just, I hate to say it, an idiot. You know, he was crying when they were winning games because he wasn't getting the ball enough. Now they're losing, and he's trying to be the captain of the locker room holding player meetings. Then he's going on Twitter and deleting all of his Eagles stuff, and he's just acting like an idiot. You know, this ain't the time to do that, bro. Do stuff like that in the offseason, not when you guys are trying to make a run for the Super Bowl. And you guys were in the Super Bowl last year. You don't need to be deleting stuff on Twitter right now. Like, what are you doing, bro?
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, and he's not playing this week. Who knows if he's even really that hurt or if he's just crying and doesn't want to play. You know, this ain't the time of the year to do that. It's hard for me to believe that Tampa's going to win this game. But I take the Tampa plus +3. But this, I think this game is going to be close. But I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa wins it, man. I wouldn't at home. And they're kind of hot of a team right now. Their defense has been playing great. What do you think on that?
I am going to 100% agree. I have Tampa Bay pulling off the upset of the wild card weekend.
Okay.
Coming at home. Things are looking very different from last year. You know, last year they were coming in with a losing record against Dallas. Yes, they were at home. Yes, they had Brady. But they still were, they were 8-9, losing record against Dallas, you know, who were hot all regular season. And yeah, they just didn't, it was a beatdown. They just couldn't do anything against Dallas. But this year, they have all the momentum in the world, winning their division after, in the, after, you know, preseason, people were sleeping on them. People were saying, oh, they'd be lucky if they were third, they finished third in their division. Oh, you know, Baker Mayfield ain't crap. But coming in, winning the division, red hot. Eagles are stone cold, went from 10-11 to whatever, the 11-6 or whatever they finished at. I agree. I have Tampa Bay pulling off the upset of wild card weekend.
I love it. I hope they do. It would be great to see. All right, let's get into the mock draft.
All right.
Let's finish up with that. We're going to give you our top 10 picks for now. As we get closer to the draft, we'll probably do like a whole first round.
Yeah, I agree. I like the whole idea. Yeah, I like doing top 10 because some of us aren't really familiar with all the like first round projected, you know, names yet.
Yeah, and we still got to see the combine, you know. There's still going to be a lot of things that could happen. This is really early of a mock draft.
Yeah.
But I know people are excited about it, and this is something people want to talk about. So I'm going to let you go first, man. As of right now, the Bears got the number one pick because of Carolina trading it to them last year in that big blockbuster trade.
Mm-hmm.
So as of right now, the Bears have pick one. Pick one, the Bears are on the clock. Who are they taking?
I'm going to do my best Roger Goodell impression. With the first pick, stop booing. With the first pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears trade the first overall pick.
I
want you to guess how many spots they trade back.
This could be big because there is a lot of teams that I could see potentially trading for this.
I think we all know who the biggest prospect in this draft is. Who might go first overall? But again, if Chicago had this pick, it's not him because for me personally. With this pick, you have one of two options. You either trade Justin Fields and get Caleb Williams, or you get Marvin Harrison Jr. But that's just what I say. How many picks do you think the Bears trade back?
I'll give you the list of teams that I could see trading for the number one pick. Obviously, you got the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
You got Washington. You got the Giants. You got the Falcons. You got Vegas, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins wanted to trade up and get Caleb Williams because of how Tua has looked recently, and I'm not a Tua supporter. We don't have to get into that.
Yeah.
But last night just proved my point. Tua is not the guy. Tyreek Hill made him look really, really good this year in my eyes. I almost thought Tyreek Hill, if not, should be the MVP this year.
Yeah,
up there with Matt Stafford. I know he's a Matt Stafford. Yeah. Should be up there too.
If he didn't get injured that one game.
Yeah, I mean, he almost went for 2,000 yards with a quarterback that doesn't even know how to throw it over 20 yards. So we don't have to get into that. Yeah. So those are all the teams I'm just going to list. So you just tell me who trades with them.
What are the teams again?
I had the Patriots, Washington, the Giants, the Falcons, Vegas, Raiders, and the Miami Dolphins as all the teams that I think potentially could trade for one, up to one. Depending on what happens.
Gotcha. But. So, I'll give you the big result. with the first overall pick, the Chicago Bears trade back. They move back. Not five overall spots, not four, not three, not two. They move back one spot. The Washington Commanders trade up, get the number one overall pick. Chicago only moves back one spot. And with the first overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Washington Commanders select Caleb Williams. I have Washington getting the biggest quarterback prospect in the draft since Trevor Lawrence, maybe even since what's his name? I'm drawing a blank, but maybe since before that. Caleb Williams, I mean, what can you say about this guy? He looks like the next Mahomes, in my opinion. I mean, he is absolutely generational, at least how he's looked on paper. And I feel like Washington, you know, they're in a situation where, you know, they've realized, yes, too late, but they've realized now Sam Howell's not the guy. He's not their franchise quarterback, as much as it pains me to say it, because I kind of like Sam Howell coming out of the draft, but he's not the guy. But I mean, at the same time, you can't really be too mad at Washington because he was a fifth round pick. You know, it wasn't like they reached for him. They got him the fifth round, but he's not the answer. I feel like Washington trades up. You know, it seems like the Bears and the Commanders are good trade partners because, you know, they traded Montez Sweat to Chicago for a fourth round pick. But in this one, Washington moves at one spot. They also give Chicago their fifth round pick this year and a fourth next year just to move up one overall spot, because it's not like they're going up from 9 to 1, you know, with Carolina trading DJ Moore to go up 8 overall spots. They only trade 1 overall spot, so they're not going to trade too much. But they go up and they get Caleb Williams with the first overall pick in the draft.
Okay, now before I give you my one, I just want to let everybody know, I'm sure everybody does know, I'm a diehard Bears fan. Bear down, baby. And that is probably what I honestly want to happen. I want the Bears to trade back with Washington. I want them to be able to pick 2 so they can take Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think it's going to take more than a fourth and a fifth. They're going to need their first this year, next year. Caleb Williams, like you said, is the biggest prospect possibly ever.
Possibly.
Possibly ever to come out of college. And just like you said, he does look like Mahomes. I know he's a little bit of a diva or whatever. This guy does look that good. So it's going to take a lot more. I wouldn't be surprised if there's 2-3 first-round picks involved in this trade somehow. But with what the Bears have done in previous years, missing on Mahomes, missing on Stroud, missing on, you know, these other guys and doing other options, I think the Bears, with the number one overall pick, Goodell's going to come up there and say, the Bears take Caleb Williams.
Okay.
And here's why. I don't think they're sold on Justin Fields. I really don't. I know he's had some good games, but I don't know if Justin Fields is the answer. If he is a generational franchise quarterback, someone like a Caleb Williams who people compare to Mahomes. I've never heard Fields compared to Mahomes, and it's just Caleb Williams is something different. They fired Luke Getsy this past week. They fired the whole offensive coaches room. I feel like they kind of want to start from base A.
Yeah.
Like, they want to start over. They got weapons already. They got DJ Moore. They got a couple other guys, Cole Kmet. But other than that, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a whole kind of somewhat of a rebuild on that offense with a new OC coming in. And I feel like a new OC coming in, they're going to want probably Caleb Williams. I don't know if they're going to want Justin Fields, honestly.
Okay. So you have Justin Fields getting traded.
I do have Justin Fields getting traded to the Falcons.
Ooh.
I do think the Falcons do trade for Justin Fields, and I wouldn't be surprised if it takes this year's first-round pick. With as good as Fields has looked, and I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan Poles plays hardball with Justin Fields. Like, hey, you want Justin Fields, you're all the way at pick 8. You want to give us 4 first-round picks to trade up to 1, or do you want to give us pick 9 for Justin Fields?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I feel like the Falcons, where they're at right now, they don't want to give up 4 first-round picks or 3 or do something crazy. I do see them trading with the Bears for Fields. I wouldn't be surprised if there's at least a second-round pick for Fields. But I honestly wouldn't be surprised, too, if there's a first-round pick.
Okay.
Ryan Poles is a little sneaky, shiesty little dude. Like, he's going to get what he can for that pick. And if he doesn't get what he wants, he's going to take Caleb Williams, which I think is going to happen. I got the Bears pretty much starting over and taking Caleb Williams. And the way I feel about it is I am a little excited and I'm a little depressed because I love Justin Fields. I hate to see him go.
Yeah.
I do think he is really good, but dude, Caleb Williams, he could be the quarterback that the Bears have never had, ever, and just change everything. And he does remind me of Mahomes, man. He really does.
Yeah.
I've always been high on Williams. I think some people slept on him, but I've watched his tape, and the guy is, to me, the biggest prospect ever to come out. And I think he needs a good environment to be around. He's going to have a new OC, and I think it could turn out good. And I don't necessarily want this to happen, but I do think it does happen. The Bears take Williams at pick one.
I respect that. All right, speaking of the Bears, now that the Bears traded one overall spot in my mock draft to the Washington Commanders, get the second overall pick. Now, for me, when my take on the overall perspective situation on this and if I were the Bears, what I'd do, you have two, I said it before, you have two options. You either trade the pick and you either trade down, or with the first overall pick, you get Marvin Harrison Jr. But in my mock draft, they do both. With the second overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears, after trading from one overall spot, first to second, take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yep.
The best wide receiver prospect in this entire draft class. I don't think he's the best. Hot take.
Whoa.
I don't think he's the best. I don't think he's, well, he Whoa. Hadn't, he hasn't, he isn't the best wide receiver, but he's the best prospect.
Wow.
He didn't have the best season in last college football season, but he is the best overall prospect in this draft class. He's big. He can catch the ball. He's a great route runner. He's an end zone threat. Yeah, I think with this, with the Bears get, I think they keep Justin Fields, give him one more year, and they say, hey, we gave you Marvin Harrison Jr. You have everything that you need. You have your true wide receiver. You have your true, you have a great wide receiver duo in him and DJ Moore. You got no excuses. Go out there and do your thing. This is your last chance.
Yeah.
And it starts with Marvin Harrison Jr. at number two.
And now that's what I want to happen. I really want the Bears to do that, but I just know the Bears, and they don't do what, like, the fans want them to do ever. So I really do want the Bears to take Harrison at two, but I don't think it's going to happen. Here's what I think is going to happen at two. I think the Patriots trade up with Washington.
Ooh.
Washington has a new GM, and I think Ryan Poles kind of set the standard of trading, a lot of these top picks your first year coming in and trying to build a team in the next 3 to 4 years, which I think Washington's going to let this new GM do. So I got Washington trading back. I know they have said Sam Howell is not their franchise quarterback, but I would not be surprised if they do give him one more year at it.
Okay.
And take a quarterback later in the draft, someone like a Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy.
Wow.
Taking one of them guys later in maybe the first or the second round, one of them top prospect guys that, still can be a really good quarterback and could surprise us all and be the best in this draft.
Okay.
Because Washington needs so much more than just a quarterback.
True.
Their whole team pretty much needs a rebuild. They got a new GM. They're about to get a new coach. I do see them trading back with Patriots, and the Patriots giving a haul for this second pick to take Drake May. I got the Patriots trading up to number two from three and taking Drake May out of North Carolina to give them that franchise quarterback at quarterback. I don't think Drake May is going to be that guy, but I do feel like the Patriots are going to do that and take Drake May at number two. So that's who I think is going to go number two.
Doing it again. Speaking of the Patriots,
with
the third overall pick in the draft, the New England Patriots take Drake May.
Yeah.
The only difference is that, they don't trade up. I mean, I want to take a second to, this is directly to Stevens. I heard him talk so much crap about Drake May. And I wanted to say this, Stevens, who do you think you are? Do you even watch college football?
Damn.
I mean, like, listen, I get the whole, people are comparing him to Mitch Trubisky or Mac Jones or insert name of white quarterback who had one good year. Well, he didn't. He had two. But had one good year in college and then comes in the NFL and shits the bed. No, Drake May is completely different from Mitch Trubisky and Mac Jones. I think the Patriots get a young quarterback who is the most, and out of, I don't think he's not a better prospect than Caleb Williams, but to me, Drake May is in this quarterback draft class is the most NFL ready.
Okay,
he is the most likely quarterback in this draft to come in and immediately make an impact for that team, kind of like what Mac Jones did in 2021. But except he's not going to be shit 3 years later. Drake May, I think, is could be the future for the Patriots, for the Patriots franchise. So with him, I think stop the Drake May hate. Drake May is, as much as, you know, Steven says it's not going to happen, Drake May is going to be taken by the New England Patriots third overall, and he is going to be the future of that franchise.
Okay. I do. I like that take. I like that take. Let me give you my pick three. And once again, I got Washington trading back again. Because like I said before, they need a whole new team. It's not just, you know, that they need a quarterback. They got the new GM coming in. He's going to make these trades, and he's going to set up this team for greatness here in the next couple years. I got the Giants trading up with Washington to pick three. The Giants need a quarterback. Daniel Jones is not the guy. They do have some decent weapons, you know, some other guys. They got a decent defense. They got a good coach. I got the Giants trading up to three with Washington. I got them taking Jaden Daniels from LSU.
Oh, my gosh.
I do. Brian Daboll likes quarterbacks that run, someone like Josh Allen. I think he's going to try to make him into a Josh Allen-type quarterback. And, you know, Jaden Daniels could either hit or miss. He's not as, like, an NFL quarterback as you want to see. He's been the best college quarterback, but we see how that sometimes has turned out.
Exactly.
The guy that wins a Heisman in college football, usually, if he's a quarterback, sometimes that don't mean he's an NFL quarterback.
Exactly, like Johnny Manziel.
Exactly. But I do think the Giants are going to make a move because of just their New York. Everybody hates Daniel Jones and that contract he got. And I think all of the Giants fan base wants them to get a quarterback. And I think Jaden Daniels is probably the third best quarterback in this draft. So I got the Giants trading up to three and taking Jaden Daniels.
All right, I like that. All right, now I'm on to the fourth overall pick, the Arizona Cardinals. Now, to my Cardinal, if you're listening to this, you're a Cardinals fan, you're probably so devastated in this mock draft universe that Marvin Harrison Jr. is not taken. Because I know how badly Cardinals fans want Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, if there's any NFL team that wants Marvin Harrison Jr. so badly more than any other team, it's the Cardinals. I already know people who are already making Marvin Harrison Jr. edits of him in Cardinals jerseys. That's how bad they want him. But in this, man, the devastation would be so unreal that the Chicago Bears traded back and snatched Marvin Harrison Jr. from them. So they have to, you know, they have to pull out some improv. So with the fourth overall pick in the NFL draft, I have the Arizona Cardinals taking Dallas Turner.
Wow.
Edge rusher out of Alabama. This is a pretty big, you know, leap. This is a pretty big, you know, what's it called? A pretty big, big leap. Because Dallas Turner is projected to be like a mid, like 10 to 20 over, you know, pick in the draft. But I have the Arizona Cardinals taking Dallas Turner, you know, a little more ahead than people are thinking. Kind of like a Cleveland Farrell situation, but I like Dallas Turner's upside. I mean, he's a young edge rusher. He's absolutely immensely talented. He might be. I think a really close comparison to him is Will Anderson. Honestly, I think he has a lot of upside compared to what Will Anderson have. And yeah, I think, you know, Cardinals get that true, solid young talented edge rusher Dallas Turner to just help that help that atrocious defense, you know, build up.
Okay. All right, so number four, Arizona, obviously. I have Arizona keeping the pick. And since I had the Bears taking Williams at one and nobody taking a receiver yet, I think they do get the receiver they want at where they're at, mm-hmm. and they take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
They get him on that team with Kyler Murray, and people can take actually real pictures now instead of making edits of the jerseys, because I do think he's going to be an Arizona Cardinal as of now. So I got Arizona at four, taking the top receiver prospect in a long time and taking Harrison Jr. at four.
I respect that. So now, fifth overall pick, you got the Chargers. Now with this one, it's a little divisive. Some people are thinking, oh, they might take this guy, might take that guy. With the fifth overall pick, I had the Chargers taking the first offensive tackle off the board, Olufoshinu, out of Penn State. He is, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people agree with this, He's the best offense. I mean, it's saying a lot because there's so many talented offensive tackle prospects in this draft class. He's the most talented, in my opinion. He's incredible. He's incredibly strong, incredibly big for, you know, how he plays. And again, I like the upside of him so much. And, you know, the Chargers, I feel like offensive, the O-line is their biggest need. in my opinion, their biggest need on offense is the O-line. And, you know, yes, they got Rashawn Slater as their franchise offensive tackle. But other than that, they, you know, on the other side, they don't have much going on. And I feel like Olufoshano can come in and immediately make an impact, you know, help that rebuild that O-line. Kind of similar to what Penei Sewell did with the Lions, and just build up that O-line from the ground up and make it elite again. And so, yeah, I have Olufoshano at number 5 for the Chargers.
Okay, now for the Chargers at 5. I do think that they're going to get Belichick as their head coach. I think that's the best place for him to go. He can be the GM. He can be the coach. They can let him run the organization. They got Justin Herbert, a franchise quarterback. Belichick is a defensive guy, and this brings me back to Dallas Turner. I do think he is the best edge rusher in this draft. Look at previous drafts. You brought up Will Anderson, Micah Parsons. A lot of these guys have paved the way for these guys. It's hard not to take the best edge rusher, especially on Alabama, because they've all turned out to be great NFL players. I got Bill Belichick and the Chargers taking Dallas Turner at 5.
All right.
And giving somebody to play on the opposite side of Khalil Mack. And if you put Dallas Turner and Khalil Mack on each end of that line, they have one of the most dangerous pass rushes in the AFC. So I got them taking Dallas Turner at 5.
All right. I respect that. Now, 6th overall. We go back to the Giants, G-Men. And with the 6th overall pick in the NFL draft, I have the Giants, very similar to what you said, taking Jaden Daniels. Wow. I have them the same exact outcome as you, but instead they don't have to trade up. They get their boy, they get the guy they want, Jaden Daniels, the Heisman winner from my favorite college football team, LSU. Go Tigers at number 6. Finally, they get a really good-looking quarterback prospect out of draft. Listen, I might sound like the biggest Daniel Jones hater, but he was not. I knew he was not the guy day one. I knew he was not the answer to that franchise. No matter how much, you know, how great he looked last the season prior and got paid $40 million a year, I knew he was not the guy. But Jaden Daniels, again, I may sound like a bias because I'm a Tigers fan, I'm a LSU fan, but Jaden Daniels will come in. And he will bolster that New York. He reminds me of Lamar Jackson a lot. Heisman winner, elite runner. I mean, Jaden Daniels. If Jaden Daniels goes to the New York Giants, then they don't need a receiver. They don't need anything else. Jaden Daniels alone is going to make that offense top 10.
Imagine him with Brian Daboll.
Exactly. So yeah, I think, you know, and again, if my dad's listening to this, he's gonna be so hyped. But yeah, I think that's gonna happen. I think Jaden Daniels, Heisman winner, is gonna come in to the Big Apple, New York Giants. He's gonna look great in a Giants uniform, and he's going to be the future of that franchise. I see Jaden Daniels, number 6 overall, to the Giants. You know, New York Football Giants.
Okay. Now the Giants are obviously at 6, but I had them in mind trading up with Washington. Yeah. Washington trading back twice. But I do think Washington is going to keep this pick. I wouldn't be surprised if they traded back again. That would be the third time. But let's not confuse anybody too crazy. So I got Washington at 6 now. They need to build the team. I think they're going to go with Sam Howell again. But I got them taking Brock Bowers.
Ooh.
At pick 6.
I like that.
I think Washington needs a tight end. I know they had Logan Thomas and, you know, a couple other guys. None of them guys are Brock Bowers. This guy, people are comparing to Travis Kelce. You know, I know Kyle Pitts was probably the biggest tight end prospect ever, but a lot of people considered him almost more of a receiver.
Yeah.
This guy is legit tight end, legit blocker, legit receiver, just all around. He's the best tight end prospect I've ever seen. I think he's going to be better than Kyle Pitts, especially as a tight end. They get a weapon for Howell. They're already stacked at receiver, pretty much. They're good at receiver. I just think this is, you know, a franchise player, elite player that Washington needs to kind of rebuild this team.
Okay.
And they could always take a quarterback next year. You know, I think this is a better move for Washington. They take Bowers out of Georgia at 6.
All right. I like that. I like that take. Now, with the 7th overall pick, you got the Tennessee Titans. And to me, this is probably one of, if not the easiest pick I've made in the draft. When I saw this prospect on the list for the Titans to take, I said, I didn't even think twice. I said, going with that player. Don't even have to think about it. I spent maybe 5 seconds thinking about it. Like, oh, that player, take him.
Same here.
So with the 7th overall pick in the NFL draft, I have the Tennessee Titans taking. Well, Olufoshanu is the best offensive tackle prospect in this draft. But since in this draft I have the Chargers taking him at 5, they go with the next best tackle, Joe Alt.
Yeah.
Out of Notre Dame. Dude's amazing. And he's looked great for the past 2 or 3 years. I knew he was going to be elite since he came into Notre Dame. And yeah, with the Titans, you cannot be more excited. You know, I mean, yes, Olufoshanu would be better, but I think Joe Alt is still, as a replacement, if the next best thing to Olufoshanu is Joe Alt, you can't complain that much. And Joe Alt can come into Tennessee and, like, kind of similar to the Chargers, can come in and just rebuild that offensive lineman from the ground up. They already got Peter Skoronski last year. He can play tackle, guard, center. He can play all of them. But then you come and you have a true offensive tackle in Joe Alt. And yeah, I think the Titans have a bright future ahead of them on their O-line. So yeah, I think if you're a Titans fan, you'd be great. Whether it's Olufoshanu or what I went with Joe Alt, you got to go with offensive tackle. And for me, I have been taking Joe Alt.
Okay, now the Titans at 7. I do think they have their... They think they have their franchise quarterback with Will Levis. Mike Vrabel's out. They're going to get a new coach. Like you said, they took Peter Skoronski last year, a great offensive lineman. I don't think they're going to go O-line again this year. This year, I got them taking what some people are saying is the best wide receiver in this draft. Not a lot of people, but some people. I have them taking Rome Odunze from Washington.
Ooh.
And I don't know if D-Hop's going to be on the Titans next year. Obviously, Treylon Burks has not worked out.
No.
They really don't have any receivers for Will Levis. You got to get the guy a weapon, a receiver. Exactly. Now, I think Rome's the guy. MHJ ain't going to be there. Some people might say Malik Nabers is better than Rome, but I really like Rome, and I think Rome's going to go to the Tennessee Titans. They're going to pair him up with Will Levis, and Levis is going to feed him the ball. Look out for Rome in fantasy football next year.
Ooh, I like that.
Especially if D-Hop ain't on the team, because D-Hop, he's only signed a 1-year deal. You don't know where he's going to go. He probably wants to go to a winner, someone like Kansas City. And then Treylon Burks definitely can't hope he's going to be the guy. I think they take Rome at pick 7.
I respect that. Now, next we have the 8th overall pick, which is the Falcons in mine. Now, the Falcons is really divisive for me. The quarterback situation, I don't think Desmond Ridder's the answer, the quarterback room. But I think with me, when it comes to the quarterback situation, I think they're going to solve that in free agency. I think they're going to sign a name in free agency for like maybe a year. I mean, just for like a year to be like, for now, you're our guy until the next year they get their franchise quarterback. I think they're going to go in free agency, pick up a guy. So I don't have them taking a quarterback. With the 8th overall pick in the NFL draft, I have the Atlanta Falcons taking a wide receiver. Who? I have them taking another LSU guy,
Malik Nabers.
Now, even though Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best prospect in this draft, to me, the best wide receiver from college football this year was Malik Nabers.
Wow.
And yes, you can give a lot of credit to Jaden Daniels. I don't give a crap. Malik Nabers looked absolutely legit on that LSU team. Him and Brian Tom. I mean, he's legit. So I think you could go with Romo. You could really coin flip between Romo Odunze and Malik Nabers here. But to me, I think Malik Nabers, even though he didn't have the stats that Romo Odunze had in terms of receiving yards, I think in terms of a prospect, he's just slightly better than Romo Odunze. I have the Falcons getting another great wide receiver to complement Drake London. They'll have probably the best young receiver core with Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and then you have Malik Nabers come in. Whoever the Falcons sign at quarterback to replace Desmond Ridder in free agency that I said they're going to do, they're set up because they're going to have Malik Nabers, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan, Tyler Algier. That offense is going to be lightning electric. So yeah, I think the Falcons take a wide receiver to complement Drake London and Kyle Pitts, and that to me is the Tiger, Malik Nabers.
Okay. Now the Falcons at 8 in my mock draft, I had them trading to get Justin Fields. I don't know exactly what they're going to have to give up for that. I do see someone like Russell Wilson playing for the Falcons next year too. Like mm-hmm. you said, one of them free agent quarterbacks. So in my mock draft, I'm going to keep the Falcons at 8 instead of trading the pick. And I got them taking Leo Latu, edge rusher out of UCLA.
Okay.
He is the number one ranked edge rusher in this draft yeah. over Dallas Turner. Me and you think more highly of Dallas Turner over yeah. this guy. But I think the Falcons are going to, you know, not use one of their top picks on offense because their offense is that good.
Okay.
Their defense kind of shut down at the end of the year. And I think they need some help with their pass rush. I think their secondary is pretty good and their linebackers are still pretty good. So I think they need an edge rusher. And I'm going to go with him from UCLA, Latu, with pick number 8.
All right. I respect that. That to me was like, if I had to choose a defensive, I was thinking Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze, but I was like, if I had to choose a defense player, it would have been Leatu Latu, but I went with Malik Nabers, but I think that's a good, I like that take. I like that pick.
Okay.
Now, next up, it's your team again.
Yeah.
Chicago Bears.
Bear down.
And I don't know how hyped you're going to be about this, but when I made this selection, I was like, I'm ready for how K9's going to react to this. I don't know, but we'll see. But with the 9th overall pick, I have... So let's go back. So already, I had them trade down from number 1 to number 2. They get Marvin Harrison Jr. So my fantasy world, they still have Fields. Now they have Marvin Harrison Jr. to basically set up Fields for hopefully the best year of his NFL career with the offense he's got around him. Now, but with this pick, the 9th overall, they go to the other side. They take a defensive player. And for my player that I had the Bears taking at 9th overall, Jerzon, a.k.a. Johnny Newton. D-tackle, guess where he plays?
Illinois. Yeah.
Keep the kid in Illinois, go to Chicago, keep him local, and be that interior defensive anchor. Help, I don't think he's going to be the next Aaron Donald, but he could. He's strong. He is so strong. I wouldn't be surprised if Madden gave him like 80 plus strength coming out of the draft. I mean, he's strong and he is an absolute tank. So to me, if you're the Chicago Bears, you see Johnny Newton at number 9, I feel like you got to take him, you know? And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think is there any good interior defensive alignment on the Bears right now? I don't think so. Not even, I mean, their defense, other than, you know, I mean, their front, I mean, their linebackers and secondaries, I mean, their secondary is elite and their linebacking core is solid, but their D lineman doesn't really look that strong. I mean, they got Yannick Ngakoue, but other than that, I can't really name a single D lineman for the Bears. So I had them taking Johnny Newton, keep the kid in Illinois, keep him local, and let him, you know, let him build that, let him be the anchor of that D line in Chicago.
Okay. At the Bears at 9, now I have heard a lot about the Bears taking that D tackle from Illinois. I listen to a lot of Bears podcasts, so I have heard a lot of podcasts say that he is going to be probably taken by the Bears. The Bears like him. He's from Illinois, like you said. It's kind of like a hometown thing.
Yeah.
But the Bears have so much money and salary this year. I think they're going to go to free agency and help that D-line.
Okay.
And get somebody to pair up with Montez Sweat. Now, at D-tackle, they do have Gervon Dexter from Florida.
I forgot about Montez Sweat.
Now, he is slow getting off the ball, but he had a 2-sack game towards the end of the year. He really stepped it up, and he started to get, you know, his starter reps, and I think he is going to be a great D tackle. Now, getting him to put with Dexter in the middle, that would be great. But the Bears at 9, I feel like they finally got to take an O lineman high.
Okay,
you know, so many people talk about the Bears O line being so trash for so long. The Bears like Notre Dame players, and they're almost like a hometown team as well, kind of like Illinois. They're actually closer to Chicago, I'm pretty sure, than Illinois University. So I got the Bears taking Joe Alt at pick 9, tackle out of Notre Dame. And they do have some good tackles. They really need a center. But someone like Joe Alt, someone that is probably the best O-lineman in this draft to me, I feel like the Bears take him at 9. I don't know if the Bears would trade back from this pick and take that D-lineman from Illinois. I could see that happening as well.
Okay.
But as of now, I got them staying at 9 and taking Joe Alt. just another beast you can put in that O-line to help out, whether it's Caleb Williams or Justin Fields, and, you know, just getting the job done on the O-line, you know, and just trying to make the O-line something to be proud of for once. Now, they had a decent year this year, but they're still one or two guys away from having a really, really good offensive line.
Okay, I respect that.
Whether you get, you know, Caleb Williams, you need people to protect him. Whether you have Justin Fields, he needs more protection as well. So taking Joe Alt, I think, would be a good decision at 9.
All right, I respect that. And the only thing I would kind of, like, you know, disagree with that is that you said it, they have a solid O-line. I think the thing with me for offensive line is that it takes some time for offensive linemen to, you know, bloom into the great players. They have Darnell Wright and Braxton Jones as their two starting offensive tackles. I think they just need a little bit more time, and I think eventually they can become elite. I just think you just got to give them more time. That's the only like counter argument I would give to that. But other than that, yeah, I think, you know, if Joe Alt goes to Chicago, you know, I wouldn't hate that. You know, again, I think that's solid for them. But for me, I just have them going with, you know, defense, because, you know, and I do got to apologize. I forgot about Montez Sweat. You know, I literally talked about him earlier, and then I forgot to mention Montez Sweat when I was talking hype, when I was hyping up Johnny Newton. But I like that. Anyways, so last one, the 10th overall pick, the Jets.
Yep.
Now the Jets is a little, again, another team that's a little complicated. They could go any position, honestly. But for me, I gotta go with another wide receiver.
Wow.
At 10th overall pick in the draft, I had the Jets taking Romo Dunze.
Wow.
I have him teaming up with Garrett Wilson, forming that electric duo. I think that, you know, yes, I mean, there might be more glaring needs for the Jets, but I feel like if they have Aaron Rodgers back next season, which they might, that might happen, as, you know, as crazy as that might sound, you know, having him with Garrett Wilson and Romo Dunze, the Jets may have a top 10, maybe even top 5 offense in the league with that receiver combo. You know, Romo Dunze, yes, he put up the best stats in college football last year, you know, receiving yards, you know, led Jalen Polk and Jalen McMillan led that team to a national championship appearance. But, you know, I think he's the third best prospect in this draft. And, you know, but he's still amazingly talented. I feel like for me, it's a toss up between him and Malik Nabers that could be that offensive rookie of the year winner.
Okay.
Because of how much they can come in and immediately make an impact on their team. So, but yeah, and the 10th overall pick, I had the Jets taking Romo Dunze.
Now, at pick 10 with the Jets, I completely disagree with you. I think the Jets pretty much have a good team all around except their offensive line. Their offensive line is so bad. They got Aaron Rodgers hurt like the first play of the season. They got Zach Wilson beat up so bad he didn't even want to play. Any quarterback that went in there got their ass kicked. Their O-line was terrible. I think the first thing you got to do is trade Mekhi Becton for whatever you can get for him. Because I think he is one of the biggest busts I have ever seen.
Wow.
He is terrible.
Oh, my.
Every game I've watched, Mekhi Becton was getting beat, ran over, penalties, holding, false starts. The guy is terrible. I think the Jets, to me, if I was ranking offensive lines, I think they're the last. I think their O-line's that bad. And that's why I have them taking offensive tackle out of Penn State, Olufoshinu.
Olufoshinu.
I think he is possibly the best tackle in this draft. I think Joe Alt is ranked higher than him to me. But this guy, putting him where Mekhi Becton is, get rid of Mekhi Becton. Wow. Get you an O-line that could actually help Aaron Rodgers play more than one snap this year. You need to protect the quarterback. They got Breece Hall. They got all the receivers. Who knows? They might end up getting Davante Adams. Their defense is good. You know, get something later in the draft to help your defense or whatever. I don't think they should waste it on a receiver. They need to get offensive line. So take him out of Penn State at pick 10 to me.
Okay.
They need help on that O-line. They need to keep their quarterback healthy.
All right. I respect that. I completely forgot about offensive line for the Jets. I'm not going to lie.
Wow, they need it bad, Bubby. They need it bad, dude.
Oh, man. Well, I don't pay attention to Jets football.
Like, I really don't either, but the couple games I watched, Mekhi Becton, oh, my God. I strangled the dude.
I had no idea he looked that bad. I had no idea. I thought, you know, I didn't really hear a lot of people mention his name. So I was like, okay, I guess he's solid. I mean, if you're an offensive lineman, your name doesn't come up that much in terms of like avid you know players watching the game. Then that's a good thing because then you know you're not making many mistakes. But I guess I was wrong. I guess Mekhi Becton he's not like Quentin Nelson where he's just, nobody talks about him, but that means he's good. They don't talk about him. I guess he's not bad. All right. Wow.
I mean, I know he's like the biggest O lineman and he looks like a monster, but he's just, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Even if you do keep him, get somebody else on the opposite end of him, get another tackle. You know, we need help.
I know. You know what's funny? When he came out of the draft, I thought he was the best offensive tackle in that draft. I thought he was better than Jedrick Wills. I thought he was better than Jed Wills. I thought he was better than Tristan Wirfs.
So did I.
But no, the size
really throws people off too. You hear of a guy being that big and like a freak of nature, you just think automatically he's going to be good.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they are. But
I get you. Maybe who knows? Maybe that could be the same case with Olufoshanu, but you don't know.
Yeah, or maybe even try moving Becton in as a guard. I know he's huge, but I just don't think him being a tackle for the Jets is going to be a good thing next year. So whether you can trade him and get something for him, move him into guard, try to figure something else out. You need O-line. Take the guy from Penn State, or if Joe Alt's there, take him from Notre Dame. Help out Rodgers. Help out whoever's going to be back there so they can last more than one game. Definitely.
All right, I respect that. Now, I do want to mention one player that I did not get taken in the top 10, and it's Brock Bowers.
Okay,
I have Brock Bowers. I have him falling off the board for me.
Okay,
and you know he's. I mean, I agree with what you said about him when he got taken by I think it was Washington, right? Yeah, he is the. I think he's the best tight end prospect. I think he's better than prospect than Kyle Pitts. Yeah. I do because again, I agree with you know him. He was more of a receiver than a tight end. Brock Bowers is a true, natural, amazing tight end prospect. I mean, he looks incredible. I wouldn't be surprised if whoever takes him, he immediately comes in and just goes off and just, you know, immediately is the best, maybe even the best receiver on the team in terms of stats and overall impact as a rookie. But I have him falling to my rival team, the Seattle Seahawks, wow, at number 16. Now, this is a big... That's probably like a big, big, big take to some people because with this pick, I see a lot of people saying that they're going to take a quarterback, you know, because again, they have, I mean, yes, they have Geno Smith, but he's 35. He's not the long-term answer. They got Drew Lock. Don't even talk about Drew Lock. He's not the answer as much as, you know, Drew Lock has had some decent games. He's not the answer. So yeah, I think on paper, the best, biggest need for Seattle is quarterback, but unless they get Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, or Drake May, I don't see them. I don't think they should take any other quarterback in the draft. Unless you get one of those three guys, just forget it. If you're a Seattle, if that highly too. So as much as you know, I see some people saying they're going to get Michael Penix or J.J. McCarthy, or some people say even Bo Nix. I don't think it's happening. I have them getting Brock Bowers. Now, on paper, this might look stupid because they have Noah Fant. They got DK Metcalf, they got Tyler Lockett, they got JSN, but I feel like they're going to make some trades in the offseason. I see them either trading Noah Fant or trading Tyler Lockett and, you know, getting somebody like Brock Bowers to come in at tight end would be huge for whoever plays quarterback for them next season, whether it's Geno Smith, Drew Lock, or somebody else. So yeah, I think that I have them taking Brock Bowers to come in and, you know, you know how we had the Legion of Boom defense? I have them the offensive side, the Legion of Boom offense.
Okay.
With, you know, with DK, JSN, and Brock Bowers.
Yeah, and if they do what you said, they could always take someone like Michael Penix in the second round or still get one of them guys, you know?
I still think they can take one of those guys like McCarthy or Bo Nix or Michael Penix. I just don't think they should take them the first round. That's so stupid.
Yeah, no, especially if you can wait on them.
Exactly, because they're not projected to go, like, again, the second, third, maybe even fourth round. Don't spend a first-round pick on one of those guys unless, again, it's either Jaden Daniels, Drake May, or Kayla Williams.
Okay, I respect that. We went pretty long on this one. We're about an hour and a half.
Oh my gosh.
I'm cool with it. You know, it was a good podcast.
Yeah, it was my first appearance in season 2.
Yeah, season 2. I think we got a little bit of everything in there. You know, obviously I time stamped it.
Yeah.
So if you want to, go and listen to certain things, go ahead.
Yeah, you don't have to watch the whole hour and a half. I mean, if you do, mad respect, but you know, you got timestamps.
But I think you should, because it was a great all-around podcast.
It was. I'm glad to be back in the pod, man.
Well, I'm glad to have you back. Season two is here. It is going strong, and I'm still working on getting this on other platforms. We're still just on SoundCloud, but you know, we're trying to make things happen. So just follow us, support us, do whatever you can. We appreciate it. I appreciate it, obviously, and you know, we out you. Oh.